Anybody else know you saved more than you did in Sunday school?
What about that?
Amen. Amen. Book of Acts. I'm interested right here in a word here this morning. We're going to look at it and then here in the New Testament, and then we're going to look over in the Old Testament for an example of how it's applied to our lives. Book of Acts, last two verses in the book of Acts. Acts 28, verse 30.
Yep.
Acts 28, verse 30, and it said, "And Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all..." What's that next little word there?
Confidence.
Confidence. No man forbidding him. Father, we thank you this morning. Help us to be your words and not ours. Lord, help us to communicate the message, Lord, you put on our heart these days. We ask these things in Jesus' name, God, for your glory. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing in church. I want you to notice that word there. A lot of people say you got to have preaching. No teaching. You do have to have teaching. The Bible says all pastors that are qualified will be apt to teach.
Right.
That little word apt means able to teach. There is no question. Preaching always involves some teaching.
Right.
There is a lot of teaching going on nowadays that don't have any preaching with it. And that's the one that bothers me. The one that involves teaching don't bother me hardly at all. But the one that involves all teaching and no preaching, that's the one that gets to me. We want to look here this morning, if we can, that little word there, confidence. And literally, that word confidence there appears 31 times throughout the Bible. 31 times. Now, the word confidence itself in English appears more times than this. This word appears, it's in the Greek word is parousia. That word parousia is also translated as the word boldness or bold. And then again, Jesus, when it was used, when Jesus was speaking, it translated as he spoke openly or he taught them openly. So that word openly as Jesus taught, or as we would have confidence to say things about the Lord to other people, or we would, as it talks about in Hebrews over there in chapter 4 and verse 6, that we would go boldly before the throne of God, the throne of grace, and say and ask whatever we should need, and he'll give it to us. Folks, it's so important that we understand the importance of this word right here. It's not just any confidence. It's just not any type of boldness. Sometimes in the Bible, the word boldness is translated from a word that means courage. Sometimes that word openness comes directly from that word. It was open, or different ways to say open. Sure. But openly, as Jesus spoke, ties directly to the word confidence and boldness. What does it mean, preacher? That little word parousia, it's translated 31 times here in the Word of God. And what does it mean? It means freedom of speech.
Go ahead. Go ahead. What about that?
Freedom of speech. It means have confidence to say what you got to say.
Hey.
Now, if you're going to invite somebody to church, this is the word you need. If you've got to talk to somebody about the Lord, this is the word you need. Not just any type of confidence, but you got to have that one that comes in on the Greek side, parousia. You say, preacher, I don't know about all that Greek stuff and everything. Well, there's multiple types of love in the English Bible, and it's always written down as love. We have phileo love, we have agape love, we have porneia love, but in our Bible it's always translated love. We have one word. The Greek was a very detailed, specific language. It was a language that was so specific, and God chose to use it to be written in that, where the Word of God could be translated in so many other languages without complication. Now, we have a very simple language. English is today's language. In Jesus' day, Greek was the business language. In our day, English is the business language. You say, well, what's happened? Well, the world having it their way, they watered down the word. You say, when English is simpler, does that not mean it's easier to understand? Well, it just means it's not as clear as it could be if it was said in the Greek. And now, if you don't learn what the English Bible says and you don't try to quote the Bible and say it the way it says it, you're always just saying half-heartedly what you think it says and you've never studied it enough to memorize what it says in detail, you'll end up sinning against the Father above. The Bible said that we should hide the Word of God in our heart that we may not sin against the Father above. We don't want to run around on misthinking or wrong thinking or guessing way we live on singing. Y'all hear me? Songs, they should be biblical, but it's not how we live our lives. We should live our life by the specific, detailed Word of God. Now, when you do that, you can know that what you're saying to somebody, you're saying it with confidence, and you can say it with Holy Ghost boldness, and you can then, therefore, no matter who you're around or who you're talking to or what you're talking to them about, you can say it openly. Jesus didn't have to say anything he said in secret. He said it openly. He went down before the front of the people. It didn't matter what demon popped up in the crowd, and they usually did pop up first because they recognized him more quickly than the regular folks did that wasn't demon possessed. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I want to say, I've noticed going to churches before, the one that come up to me a lot of times trying to be nice to me is usually the one that's going to be the problem.
Right. Yes.
I might not be going to be there but one service or a couple days or a week or a month, but the one that's always nicey, trying to get up in your face, trying to get some credits
preach.
In, I want to say they'll be the ones that'll give you the problem.
They'll catch you. Yep.
Old preacher Hanley Milby said it this way. He said, a wolf is a wolf is a wolf is a wolf.
Right.
Now, he's detailed, wasn't he? Huh? You know what that basically means? That they're out there. Jesus said, when I leave you, the wolves will come in amongst you.
Oh, yeah.
And so you got to have confidence in what you're doing. You have got to have a boldness about what you're saying. And you've got to be able to say it in such a way that people can understand why and where it's coming from for what you're saying. Now, look here where it says that word all confidence. It didn't say some confidence or most confidence or a bunch of confidence. It said with all confidence. Now, look at that next little phrase. It said, no man forbidden him. That word is actually tied into the word confidence. If you'd just say it in the Greek, you'd just say that one word parousia, and you'd already know that that next phrase is there. But in English, they have to write it out a little bit further. And literally that next phrase, no man forbidden him, means it's unhindered, not hindered.
What about that?
Nothing holding it back. How many of y'all have you ever studied or memorized those scriptures that says, lean not to your own understanding? In all our ways we should acknowledge him that the Lord can direct our paths. Amen. That little word direct there, it literally means that God takes crooked paths that we're on. And he'll make those paths straight. And he'll take out all obstacles or things that would hinder us, if you will, along the way. And he'll take out those hindrances that we'll be able to get to where we got to go. We'll be able to got to say what we got to say. And we'll be able to get done what we got to do. Amen. And we can do that and we can go forward and do that knowing that we don't have to wonder which way we're going because he made it straight.
Hey.
He made it a direct path. Now, if I was going to say, you leave here and go to my house in Poços, Brazil, in the state of Minas Gerais, and it'd be some turns here and some turns there. But if we went wise way the let's say it this way, as the crow flies, if you will, across the airway, and we could take off right here and go straight there, and you could land in the road in front of my house. It's a direct shot. You know what? It's going to be shorter. Right. It's going to be quicker. It's a whole lot easier. You just go from point A to point B, and the next thing you know, you're there.
Right.
Amen. Now, see, when our lives, the way we like to do things, we like to say, you go down there by the tree that's there on the left and turn left. Right. And then you go down there a little while and you'll see a bunch of cows standing in a corner and you'll turn right. Y'all see how it's getting confusing, because those cows might not always be standing there in the corner. That's the way some of y'all tell directions. They'll say, there was a plant growing up there and had a flower on it the last week, preacher. And if that flower's still there, you turn left right there and that'll be my driveway. Folks, I want to say it'd be a whole lot easier if they'd just say, leave the church, go straight, and you'll run into my mailbox, turn in, and you're there.
Right.
Amen. Folks, God's wanting to make it that way for you to talk to somebody about the Lord.
Right.
He's wanting to direct that thing out such a way that it'll be straight down the road, straight across there, and you can go there and you can stay straight away what you've got to say to them about the Lord.
Right.
You don't have to hem-haw around, back up and go forward, and sit there and think about it and do this and do that. And then finally, maybe after a while, maybe say, well, I'll tell you later.
Go ahead, brother.
I'll just come back later. Folks, God wants us to have the confidence to go ahead and say it, because that very well may be the last day that person has an opportunity to hear what you've got to tell them about the Lord. Here's that little old boy. I always go back to his story over there at State University in Raleigh. He's got there and he was just a regular little old freshman on campus, and the Lord got to dealing with him. He had been saved for quite some time already, and Lord got to dealing with him. Said, son, you need to go to the dean of the school and tell him that I love him. Just go in there. All you got to do is go into the dean of school and tell him you love him. So that little old boy, he said, no, he said, I can't do that. He said, that's the dean of the whole school. He said, he won't talk to me. And y'all know how. We'll give all kinds of excuses. But finally, he got that Holy Ghost confidence. Finally, he got that boldness, that parousia. You know where that comes from. That comes from reading the Word of God. That comes from talking to God. That comes from having God living inside of you. That comes from asking God to clean you up and make you whole and ready for the master's use. One day he said, just a couple of days later, he said, God, if you're helping me, I'm going over there to talk to the dean of the school. And he got up to the door and he went in. And the secretary was standing there and said, no, you can't come in. Said, the dean don't have time to just talk to anybody and everybody. You got to have an appointment. Do you not have an appointment? He said, I just need 1 minute. He said, if you'll just ask him for me, see how he didn't give up? Holy boldness,
right.
Holy confidence. He was openly saying he just needed 1 minute of the dean's time. And he said, I'll just step in there and I'll say what I got to say and I'll step right back out. Just ask him if I come in. She let him come. She went over there and asked the dean, and the dean said, just let him come on in. And he went in there, and as soon as he walked up to the desk of the dean, he said, Jesus, this is what he said. He didn't him haul around. It was unhindered. It was just as open as it could be, with a holy boldness, with tears in his eyes. He said, Jesus loves you. And about that time, the dean of the school, 27,000 students under him and all the faculty, bowed his head there on his desk and began to weep and cry. He needed to hear that Jesus loves him too. He needed to hear it. Now, when we get to logic and things that, and we get to thinking about things, this don't matter, that's not just that important, or it'll be all right. That used to be my key. That used to be my main little phrase. I'd tell the Holy Ghost, oh, it'll be all right.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it'll be all right. I remember that day I hadn't surrendered a call to preach yet, and I was sitting beside a graveyard and a stoplight and a 93 GMC pickup truck, and I was getting ready. That's back when a 93 pickup truck was almost new. And I was getting ready to turn right, and God said, Kip, son, today is the day. If you don't surrender the call to preach today, right there in that graveyard is where you're going to be. The day is your last day. And I did that thing. I turned and I said to the Holy Ghost, I said, oh, it'll be all right.
Uh-oh.
No. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't even think clear. My head began to pound. My back began to hurt. I began to hurt in my legs. I began to ache all over. I drove a mile and a half to the house, opened the truck door, fell out on the ground. Folks, it wasn't all right. When God says now, he means now. When God says move, he means move. I don't know if you learned that from your daddy or not, but my daddy taught me that one real good. He said, son, when I say move, I mean move.
Right.
Huh? See, if you don't move, you know what's going to happen? He's going to move you.
Amen.
Huh? That's what my daddy taught me. And I found out my God in heaven had taught him that. You see, because when God says today is the last day, when God deals with your heart about doing something, don't say it'll be all right. Don't say, I'm going to put it off. I'm going to let it go. We've got to get the rest of the story told. Turn your Bible right quick. We got a couple minutes here. It says in 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, an old story. It's been preached on many times, but I think a lot of times we get caught up in what was told and what came and who, what she did. 1 Kings chapter 10, and it said in verse 1, it said, and when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, verse 3, it said, and Solomon told all her questions that there was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, now listen, that little word all's in there, all of Solomon's wisdom, the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent, that's when he came up, went up to the throne, by which he went unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her.
Right.
It just plumb got away with her, didn't it?
Yeah.
Huh?
Go ahead.
What she saw. Now, why was it getting away with her? Here it is, verse 6. And she said to the king, it was a true report.
Preach.
What I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it.
Yep.
And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard.
Yep.
Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. He said the half hadn't been told. I want to say that was just about a fourth or a third of the story. She said the half hadn't been told. Now, what God sent me over here to Jamestown, Tennessee to preach this morning is simply this. God wants you to tell the rest of the story.
Go ahead.
That's the message. The rest of the story. Are you telling the rest of the story? You know where we take Sunday school and add it in the preaching time, and you take that teaching time and that little bit of preaching and you add it all together. Where are we at right now? I hope you're ready to tell the rest of the story. You know, going to the altar and going back to your seed, if it don't change your life, and if you didn't leave the trash you was thinking before in the altar and got to go going the new way and the new thing and living the new life before folks in the new spirit, as it talks about Romans 6 and 7, God wants us to tell the rest of the story. You say, well, preacher, how can you do that? I'm afraid or I'm timid or I'm bashful or I'm not real good with words. I never was real good with words. And I can tell you all kind of stories where I didn't get the job done when it come to telling something or reading a book report in school or saying something in front of people or even reading the Bible in Sunday school or training union class on Sunday night. I wouldn't get it done. I couldn't finish it up. I'd get embarrassed. And I want to say, if you'll get in your Bible and you'll start reading your Bible from Genesis to Revelation, reading her 1 hour a day, 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes a night, you can read it in 60 days. You can read your Bible. Quit taking a whole year because you give up before you get done. Amen. Amen. You can read her 2 hours a day and get her done in 1 month. Just get her read through one time that you know you've done read the Bible. And you know that that God has had a chance to speak to you. Then you can go through and start reading it again and studying it. But at least you don't need to sit there another 10 or 15 years or 20 years and not have your Bible read.
Boy, preach.
You say, preacher, I can't read. Get you one of them little old boxes. You can buy it on the internet. Somebody can buy it for you. You just push the button to where you want to go, and he'll read it for you.
Right.
Couple little old batteries, push that button and it'll read it for you. You get done what you want to do. You feed yourself every day. You go to the bathroom. You take a shower. You go down to Walmart when you want to. You run over to see some fellas and talk to them when you want to. But you won't get your Bible read because you don't want to. See, if you can't read it, somebody can read it to you. That little old box will do it for you. You can pop in a CD. You can download an app. You can do it. God's going to help you. If you can dial a phone number or you can talk to that little lady on there, Team Syria, you can get them to read you the Bible.
Right.
Yes, amen. Sir. Reason you hadn't read the Bible is because you don't want to. You hadn't been want to, and you hadn't got it done because you didn't want to. But see, when you really get saved, God will save you wanter. Hey, Papa always said, son, he said, when you get saved, you do whatever you want to. I said, how in the world is that right, Papa? He said, because God will save you wanter, son.
Yep, that's right.
God will save you wanter. She said, the report which I heard was true. But you didn't tell me the whole thing.
Right.
She said, it was true, but I didn't believe it till I seen it with my own eyes.
Amen.
The only way anybody's going to see Jesus around your life, they're going to have to see Jesus in you. There's a little word in the Word of God that says godliness. The word godliness literally means that God is being manifested through your flesh that other people can see Jesus and God in your flesh, in your life, in your actions, in your attitude, in your atmosphere, in your action and reaction to what they do and what they say. They'll be able to know if you're kind, amen. They'll be able to know if you're forgiven, amen. They'll be able to know whether you have road rage or you don't.
Right.
Amen. They'll know if you're faithful with forgiveness or you're forgetful with it. Faithful. Faithful with forgiveness. She said the half hadn't been told till I seen it with my own eyes. I'd have never believed that he had had tables spread like he had them spread. I'd have never believed that they went up and before him and came out with like they did. Happy going in and happy going out.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 12, verse 42, Jesus said this. He said, Jesus said, one greater than Solomon is here. I'm telling you, we've got a job. They've heard Jesus' name all over the world just about. If everybody hadn't heard it, they're hearing it. Huh?
Yeah, sure.
If everybody hadn't heard it, they're hearing it, the name of Jesus.
Sure.
That's only one part of the story. They've heard that he was born on Christmas Day, but all the good Baptists, including a bunch of you, and I did it at one time, but I stopped, brought up Santa Claus at Christmas time. My prayer is that you won't bring it up and you'll tell your kids the truth where they don't have to grow up believing a lie and wonder whether the truth is a lie or not.
Go ahead.
Amen. I am not trying to be mean. But I found out when I was about 11 years old, they started telling me on the bus that Santa Claus was false, the Easter Bunny was false, and the tooth fairy wasn't real either. I was walking across that 200-foot long yard, and I was wondering, is Jesus real or is he a lie also? Huh? I don't tell you, if it messed me up in my thinking, what is it doing to your youngins and your grand-youngins what you're carrying on some kind of charade that was invented by the devil just to take the name of Jesus and not let it be said? Instead of you asking if you're ready, listen a minute. Hey, listen. Instead of asking for are you ready for Santa Claus to come? People can say, they get bold enough and say, hey, little buddy, you ready for Santa Claus to come? They don't say, are you ready for Jesus to come?
Right.
Say, you know, he'll come down a chimney. He knows where you've been, bad or good, and all that kind of junk. Y'all hearing me?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the rest of the story is a whole lot bigger and better.
Right.
I'll tell you, we talking about a story. We can tell them about Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus is a coming back. Did you know when Jesus was down here, he took and turned water into wine? Didn't even have to have a grape to make wine. Didn't have one grape but turned water into wine. Did you know, little buddy, when he was out and they was out there on that storm and that ship was going back and forth and they looked up and they needed some help, here come Jesus right on time, walking on top of the water. You hear me? On top of the water. Jesus did not even, listen, Jesus didn't even get his feet wet.
Right. Go ahead.
Hey, that's a whole lot better story than a fat guy coming down a chimney that's got a crook in it.
Go ahead.
Hey. Hey. You say, preacher, you being mean? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Christmas is not about anybody but Jesus. Christmas is not about a tree. Christmas is not about decorations. Christmas is about one that gave the greatest gift of all because he loves us. I don't tell you, if you get caught up in giving and not what you're going to get, your love will overflow your life. And the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. I have a whole bunch more better time giving something out than I ever did of getting it.
Right.
It's usually the wrong size anyhow. Hey,
God.
It ain't got nothing to do with that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's a whole lot more fun giving it than it is getting it. It is. It's a whole. Some people's wondering, oh, I'm gonna spend this, and they're gonna spend that, and we're gonna trade money.
Yeah.
That's junk, ain't it?
That's right.
That's junk.
Hallelujah.
That's junk. I like to try to figure out how much can I spend and just give it out. Just be cheerful and happy giving it.
Yes.
Amen. Yep. You know what's wrong with that? What's wrong with doing it God's way? It's the rest of the story, church.
Yeah.
It's the rest of the story. It's the true report. And all they heard is Jesus, and that's it.
Go ahead, brother.
All they heard when it comes down to Easter is we heard something about a cross and something else happened. We don't know. It may be tied to Jesus. We don't know.
Go ahead, brother.
They don't know the rest of the story. They don't know the real story. That cross was used to nail the ultimate sacrifice of the world upon that he might shed his precious blood to bleed from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet.
That's right.
That you wouldn't, nobody, his old mama, if she wasn't standing there, wouldn't even know it was him because his appearance was marred so much that they wouldn't even be able to tell it was him.
Right.
Do we need to tell a little kid that? No, we just need to tell him that everything you've ever done wrong, he died on Calvary's cross. But I'll tell you, that older person needs to know that Jesus gave it all, that he can have all.
Right.
Jesus gave everything that became poor that we might become rich.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus died on Calvary's cross to pay our sin debt, past, present, and future. And when he died, he went to the grave. And he didn't even have a grave ready. But a man came along and gave him a grave. Let him put in there. But he knew he wasn't going to use it very long because he'd done told him he's going to get up after 3 days. 3 days, he'd done left that thing empty. The rock was rolled back. He left the napkin all folded up saying he was done. It was finished. The old story is, you know, when they get up from the table over there, they're not done. They throw the napkin down top of the plate like that. But when they're done, they fold that thing up and leave it. What Jesus did, he folded up that thing and left it laying there saying, it's a done. It's a deal. Amen. It's all finished. God's done took care of the situation. Sin is gone. He rose again the third day. He came and appeared before 500 people at one time. He walked up the road to Emmaus with them brothers and ate some bread with them. Came back down. Then he ascended and went to heaven. He said he's coming again. He's coming again, but he's going away to prepare a place for us that where he is, there we may be. I'm talking about the rest of the story.
Right, brother.
I'm talking about the rest of the story. Folks need to hear the story. They don't need to hear about an egg and an Easter bunny.
Right.
But all of that is out of a false god and a false religion. And it was women that worshiped that egg. And that guy that said he resurrected out of that egg, his name was Tammuz. He's a god of the women.
That's right. That's the truth.
And you women folk, you're pushing that egg thing, you might as well drop it.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah. Preach on.
You say, what are you saying? I'm saying it don't have. You want to roll eggs around, you want to go hunt eggs? Do it on March the 3rd or something. Do it somewhere in October. Just do it some other day other than Easter.
Right.
Do it anytime you want to if it's such a big ball and a good time. Amen. We used to color eggs at the house, brother. And we used to color eggs at the house, and I had a good time doing it.
Sure.
But I found out we didn't have to do it at Easter. You can color eggs anytime. You can go out and hunt them under a rock and under a tree and under a leaf and go out there and hunt them anytime you want to.
Yeah,
amen. Just don't tie it to Sunday. Just don't tie it to
right.
Easter. Don't tie it to Easter.
Go ahead.
That's the rest of the true story.
Yes.
He said, preacher, what in the world are you over here in Jamestown, Tennessee, talking about all this stuff we done heard before? Well, you may have heard it from somebody else. Now you got to hear it from me. Why? Because God's sick and tired of being sick and tired with our way that we're doing.
Right. Go ahead, brother.
If you want to see your family get saved, if you want to live a holy, righteous life that others can know Jesus is real, we got to get rid of all the lies and all the junk. And what proceeds from our mouth, it better be the truth. Listen to this. The Bible says this. I mean, anybody in here believe the Bible? Raise your hand.
Oh, yes.
The Bible says this, that the father of all lies is the devil.
That's right. Yep. Right. Right.
That's what the Bible says. The father of all lies is the devil. So if we don't need to get a handle on what we're doing, I remember when my oldest two boys were 3 and 5. I remember God convicting me about this very subject. And I remember coming home and sitting down with them little fellas and telling them the truth and telling them I would never, ever tell them anything like that ever again. Now, they caught it through the years. I caught it through the years. But I'll tell you, you just got to be with grace.
Right.
You got to be kind. You got to be merciful because people don't understand why you're not doing what you're doing. Huh?
Preach.
That little boy, four or five years old, somebody said, you ready for Santa Claus? No, sir, I don't believe in Santa Claus anymore. You know, he just a little innocent little 4 or 5 year old boy. I know, sir, I don't believe in Santa Claus. And he'd look around at me like he was going to pull the switchblade out and cut my throat.
Right.
Now you tell me, are they standing up that strongly for the truth?
Go ahead.
Now see, when we stand for the truth, we've got to do it with kindness. We've got to do it with compassion.
That's right.
We've got to do it with love. We've got to do it with forgiveness.
Yep.
We got to do it as Stephen did as the rocks beat him into the ground. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. We got to do it as Jesus was on the cross. And he looked down and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't have a clue what they're doing. And folks, when they do that and they act that way, they just really don't understand what they're doing. So you don't let the hair stand up on the back of your neck.
Yes, sir.
Y'all know what that means around here?
Yes, sir, brother.
Y'all don't let that get under your craw or whatever it does. You just go ahead and be kind. Said, well, we just thought it was best to go ahead and let them know what was right. And that's why he doesn't believe it, sir.
Go ahead.
Yep.
Amen.
Sure.
It don't matter how much bigger you are, how much tougher you are. Just be kind. Be forgiving. Be nice. Amen. It's Ephesians chapter 4 if you hadn't read it.
That's right.
It's Ephesians chapter 4. Be ye kind one another. That's Christ. But forgiving one another, God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. Amen.
Right.
And that she said the half hadn't been told. Folks, we're not worried about the half she was told or the third she was told, or the fourth she was told. It's our job as Christians and as God's children to tell the rest of the story.
Truth.
The rest of the story.
Truth.
Or they'll know. See, I got a story. I got a story of my life, how God's dealt with me in my life. Okay? And my kids, they know a lot of it. And they can tell it. And I'm seeing their story being produced in front of me. And I know it, and I can tell it. You know, and I know things about some of you in here and this preacher and others that as God's producing a story in your life.
Sure.
But think about how God's working in your life this morning. That in all confidence and all boldness and all openness that you can freely tell anybody at any time when God the Holy Ghost touches your heart, tell them about me.
That.
Tell them about me. Tell them, son, tell them, daughter, the rest of the story. You see, we got all kinds of excuses. But when you're hooked in to what God's wanting you to do, you'll always be ready to openly tell the rest of the story. You'll have the boldness that you need to tell the story. You know, all of y'all know, and I know, we know together today that we say, I just can't do it. Or it's not a good time. Or I just couldn't tell if it would work today or not. If God is dealing with you, He is dealing with them. And it's their job to accept on their end or reject on their end. But it sure shouldn't be one of God's children saying no, God. Because the little two-letter word no doesn't go with God.
Right. That's right.
The little two-letter word no doesn't go with Lord. No, Lord.
Right.
That don't go together. That's a contradiction of terms.
That's right.
The word term, God's over everything. The Lord is authority. He's the authority over everything in our life. That's why we call Him Lord. So we never say no, Lord.
Right.
And with confidence, we should say, yes, Lord. Amen. I'm going, Lord. Help me say it, Lord. Help me tell the rest of the story, Lord. Help me tell it with confidence. Help me tell it with truthfulness. Help me tell it completely. Help me tell it with boldness. Help me tell it with humbleness.
Yes.
Help me tell it with kindness. Listen, church, help me tell it with tears. Help me tell it, dear God, oh glory to you, dear God. Help me tell it. Help me tell it with all my heart and with all my strength and with all my soul, with all my mind. Help me tell it because I love you that way, dear God. Help me tell it.
Right. Yes.
Are you ready to start telling the story?
Right.
Folks, everything we've done this morning, the songs that we've said and we've sang that have encouraged our hearts to be able to tell the rest of the story.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And if we don't, hey, Proverbs 11, I'm done. Proverbs 11 and verse 30, over there where we said, he that winneth souls is wise, he that's not winning souls is not wise, right?
Yep.
That little word inspired by the Holy Ghost, the word winneth. He that is winning souls is wise. That's a competition word. This fella right here, y'all call y'all's preacher, he's competitive.
Guarantee you.
Have y'all noticed?
Oh,
yeah. If you play him in ping pong, he will not try to let you win.
Guarantee you. That's a fact.
It don't matter what you're doing, he's going to try to win.
Right.
And I hope you're that way also.
Yep.
Amen. I hope you've got that competitive edge. And God puts that in us. That's why baseball goes over so big, or football goes over so big, or whatever kind of sport. If it's checkers down at the old people's home, right? And we're down there playing, and the next guy's waiting, and whoever wins gets to play the next guy. You think I'm going to let him win? I'm going to play every one of them old fellas.
Yeah.
You see, why? Because I'm going to try to win every time. They can go by there with their head hanging down, rolling out of there, walking out of there with a rollator or whatever it is. I'm going to still try to win.
And too. If
one day I'm sitting in their place and some young guy comes in there acting like he's going to win, I'm going to still try to beat him too.
Right.
You hear what I'm saying, old man, old woman? Don't give up and don't say you're turning it over to the next generation.
Yes.
Folks, let's keep on keeping on wanting to win for the glory of God.
Amen.
Here's a worldly coach that should not be a coach. This is what he said. He said, I know we've worked hard, we've trained hard, and here we are, we've drove all this way, but we've come out here to have a good time. And if we win or we lose, we're going to leave here and it's going to be all right. Man, that got me. That gets me when somebody talks that way. That gets me. I didn't do all he just said we did. That running and sweating and crying and hurting and laying up at night taking Tylenol and Advil and everything else and my hands all swelled up just from practice. And then I'm going to go out there and it don't matter if I win or lose. Hogwash.
Huh?
I don't know if y'all know what that means. That's from North Carolina, but help me right now. I don't want to lose. I came to win.
Me too.
I came to win. And we was playing football. I'm telling you, I did not try to take it easy on the guy in front of me.
That's right.
Huh? I tried to hurt him as bad as I could, get him out of my way because I was going through and I wanted to win. I wanted to get the ball through there. I wanted to get the guy that had the ball in his hand. I wanted to make him a pass because he had done told me before his name was Jerome. Old Jerome said, Rayfield, if you don't make a hole, I will. Huh? My arm was about that big then. His was about that big. You know, I knew he was going to make a hole. You know what he is out there to do? I knew old Jerome, he was out there to do what? He was out there to win. I seen him on Channel 3 in Charlotte one night on Friday Night Football. And old Jerome, he was up in the air. And he was cutting a flip in the air. Had the ball in his hand. And they always told us, never quit moving your feet. His feet were up in the air and his feet were still chopping. His feet, when he come down and his feet hit the ground again, grass spun out from under his feet. He was still chopping. You know where John was going? He was going for a touchdown. He was going because he wanted to win the game. Amen. You know where I was at? I was watching him go through. They didn't even have me on there. I was looking to see if I was on there. I wasn't on there. All they had on there was the guy going to win the game. Folks, I want to tell you, it's not about losing. It's about winning. Because if we don't win those souls, if we don't win that neighbor, if we don't win that little guy or that little gal down the road or across the road, if we don't win that old man before he leaves out of here down at the rest home, who won? Who won? The devil won. Now, I don't know about you, but that's been motivating me in 2025. Get busy about the Father's business. I don't want to lose anymore. I'm training. I'm preparing. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm meditating. I'm thinking about what I'm supposed to do, how I'm supposed to sow the seed, how I'm supposed to do the water.
Good.
Amen. And I want to get all the lies out of the way. I want to get all the trash out of the way. And yes, I have made some people mad in the last month about all this stuff, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's worth it if they boil down and maybe their kid or their grandkid was sitting there and they heard the truth and they understood that Jesus is really, really real.
Right. Sure.
Christmas is for Jesus. Easter is for Jesus. Amen.
Everything.
Amen. And Jesus is our salvation plus nothing else.
Right.
Jesus is all we need. He is the remedy, as we sing about, for everything in our lives.
Yep.
Jesus. He is. He's real. And he loves you. Young people need to know that Jesus loves them. They're not worried about getting something else or some kind of clothes or some kind of toy, as much as they are worried about, does anybody really love me?
God help.
Mom and daddy's done got down to the point they never say no anymore. Years ago, anybody remember Beaver Cleaver? Beaver was sitting on the edge of the sidewalk. He's sitting down there, and his little old buddy was sitting down there with him. He said, Beaver, he said, is your daddy going to let you go with me over there to that, down to that river and camp out? Beaver said, no. My daddy said, I couldn't go. Said it wouldn't be safe for us to go down there by ourselves like that. The little old boy said, I wish my daddy would tell me no sometime.
Huh?
Hey. Sometimes we just need to tell ourselves no. How can you love other people if you don't even love your own self enough to say no to sin? No to unrighteousness. No to things that you know that are wrong. How can we do what we're supposed to do unless we're right with Him? Never, ever, never tell God no. God dealt my heart. I was standing down in a tree and I was cutting some vinyl, running a break for a bunch of crew of work.